Today we are talking about a sermon called Love and Respect, and there is a fantastic book by Dr. Egrix. I'm not sure if you say it quite like that, but I have given it away many times. I read it years ago, called Love and Respect. I only got through the first chapter, and I already had written a bunch of things down, but I do want you to know some of what you're going to hear is from his book. But a lot of this message is just curated, if you will, from, I've read a lot. In fact, I remember one book I read about 5 or 6 years ago called How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage, because I had dealt with a couple families, couples who were going through that, trying to process an affair, and it was a fantastic book. In fact, I'm going to quote from it today. But this sermon, I really want you to hear this, and I say this with humility. I say this like a beggar who found food under a bridge, and I'm saying I found some bread, okay? And I want you to find this bread too. Do you understand what I mean? Like, I'm not saying these are my ideas. I'm saying I've heard so many good pieces of advice and tried to jam them into one sermon. So if there's ever a sermon that you're like, a month from now, I should go re-listen to, it's this one. Go a month from now, just set it, take your phone out. If you're married, pull your phone out, put a reminder in your phone. A month from now, re-listen to the marriage sermon, because we're going to go through so many things today that I guarantee are going to help you. Know this, God wants your marriage to succeed. God wants your marriage to succeed. God wants your marriage to thrive, right? So who wants your marriage to die? Satan wants your marriage to die. And Satan's going to do everything in his power to tempt you to live for you and to live very selfishly and to cause that thing to die. But it's in marriage that we learn the quickest how to live selflessly. And how many of you guys believe that a healthy marriage creates a healthy home? And a healthy homes, right, all together comprise a healthy church. Amen? So how many of us think that God wants Rock of Grace to be a healthy church comprised of healthy homes, right? Healthy marriages. I wrote down a couple ideas for funny stories to start with because I love humor, and I know you guys know that. As you guys know, my wife has this cute habit of hitting my car with her car. She thinks it's really cute. She loves hearing from Allstate that our bill has increased. It's a hobby. It's a pastime of hers. She finds it so fun. Recently, I was in a fender bender, and while looking back, she hit a pole looking at my accident. She got an accident. And I was so confused by the whole thing. What is happening? I get like, you just ran into a pole. She's like, I was looking at your accident. And I'm like, why? Just keep your eyes on the road. I'm already in an accident. Anyway, all right. Anybody just have like one of those really, we'll call them cute wives who just like runs into things with their vehicle? But I got to say something. I'm actually not the best driver. I hit a fire hydrant, y'all. I hit a fire hydrant. Yes, the staff reminded me of this monthly, that the fire hydrant, it was not in the road, but it was too close to the road, okay? It was not on the interior side of the sidewalk, and it was in Girard, and I have a beef with the city of Girard for that reason. But marriage, it can be fun. There's a lot of funny things that happen in marriage, and we're going to talk about that. But listen, God is constantly restoring and healing marriages. And he wants to do that. And I thought I would open up by saying this, that it takes a partnership. It takes you wanting God to heal your marriage, right? So before I even start preaching, like, know that you have to go into this sermon going, I want my marriage to be improved, right? Because you can hear it all and still yet not have that life come to your marriage unless you say, I am ready to grow and change. Right? So give me just at least like a Baptist nod if you're willing to grow and change. All right? You don't got to go. Yeah, see, you went full Pentecostal on me. That's cool. But even just the nod, right, that we can grow and change. So let me give you a couple points here. Number one, this is not from the Love and Respect, but this is just something I heard years ago in a leadership book somewhere, but I want you to hear this. This is so true. In communication, there's what is said and what is heard. There's what is said and what is heard. How many of you guys realize that? And if you'll remember this, this will help you in your parenting. This will help you at work. This will help you with employees if you're a business owner. There's what is said and what is heard. Learn to understand what is heard, right? Because you can say something, but if your posture and your demeanor and your tone is saying something else, the other person is hearing something else, okay? So learn to understand what is said and what is heard. I'll tell a self-deprecating story of when I had to adjust. I had to make adjustment. My wife doesn't know I'm going to tell some of these stories, so this is a self-deprecating one. Don't worry, I'm throwing myself under the bus. One of the things I had to learn was, so I have Fridays is my day off. It's my music day. This is the day I like to make stuff. So I love to make music. I love to just like make some. I love projects. The bigger the project, the better, right? Like my endorphins just go off if it's just like we got to do this and tackle this huge thing. And I love making music. And so I had this habit. I would be like, oh yeah, I'll be done at 3:30. But as you can imagine, making a song, there's a lot of parts to it, a lot of parts to add. And there were so many Fridays where I'm like, yeah, I'll be up at 3:30, like 3:45, 3:50, 4:15, right? I'm like, hey, I just got to edit these drum parts, you know? So even if I felt that it didn't matter, if I felt, and even if I responded defensively, which I maybe have in my immature days back, you know, 100 years ago, I remember early on her asking me that, hey, if you say 3:30, come up 3:30. You know, in my self-protective, right, being defensive, I'd say, well, we have the whole day together. It doesn't matter. But if I say that, what's she hearing, right? She's hearing it doesn't matter. She's hearing her opinions don't matter. She's hearing that the kids or the family time doesn't matter as much as finishing that song. Again, what is said and what is heard. And so I had to learn, hey, you're right. If I say 3:30, you need to come up at 3:30. So your thing's going to be different. Everybody's thing is going to be different. But when your wife or when your husband communicates something to you, just know that often the issue isn't always the issue. It's usually not the issue. In fact, let me say it like this. It's the way the issue made them feel. Right, so I'm going to help you this morning. If you're married, raise your hand. I did tell Pastor Jason, by the way, there are going to be a few sensitive topics in here. And so I did ask Pastor Jason, hey, make sure the junior hires in particular are like in the game room and do a devotion with them or something. And he's like, we got a lemonade stand, so it's cool. They're going to be making lemonade for 40 minutes. So that's great. Anyway, it's how that thing made them feel. And you can't miss this. As a Christ follower, our first chance is to follow Christ and honor him in our marriage, caring about the way your actions make your spouse feel. Everybody say feel, right? So I remember one time in counseling about 4 or 5 years ago, this wife could not get through to her husband. And I remember he said, well, that's just the way I am. Well, when you respond that way, you're saying, I don't care how my actions make you. Right, so that's why that phrase is off limits, all right? So that there's a few phrases that should be off limits in your marriage. One of them is, that's just the way I am. By saying that, you're saying, I don't care how my actions make you feel. I'm just going to do what I want to do. But is that Christ-like? No, and how many are in church today? Okay, so that means you want to follow Jesus, right? You want your actions to be a blessing. You want to follow, you want to serve her, you want to live biblically. And so it's how our words and how our actions make our spouse feel. I came across this video. I thought this would be helpful for you today from a woman who shared this.
One time, my husband was coming home for dinner. Dinner time is very important to us. One particular day, my husband was late. And I could feel myself getting a little bit like, you're late. And Holy Spirit said, when he comes in this house, you make a choice of how you're going to greet this man. Holy Spirit says, because you have no idea the things he's had to fight today. So even though you don't know why he's late, when he walks in this house, you greet him like the king he is. Then I hear the door turn, the key coming, and Holy Spirit said, it's almost time. When he comes in this house, you decide if you are going to be the type of woman who brings life or you bring a knife. So he walked in and I greeted him, I hugged him, I let him know I was so happy to see him. And he just melted in my arms. He said, let me tell you what happened today, what I've had to deal with. And it broke me down because there's a scripture, Proverbs 31 and 11. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. When you endeavor to be a woman who follows the Holy Spirit will teach you how to love, how to be safe, how to be nurturing, and how to be the type of woman where a man comes home and he knows, I fought out there, but I never have to fight in here. I'm home.
Good stuff, huh? And see, the Holy Spirit can stop you in that moment of right before you're rude to your wife or your husband and correct you, kind of like pause you to remind you of how special this person is and to make you think they may have gone through something today that you're unaware of. Amen? So as a Christ follower, it's our first chance to follow Jesus is to honor our spouse in our marriage. I love what one Christian author said. I read this a month ago, founder of Exo Marriage. He does a lot of end times teaching, but also teaching on marriage. He said, women tend to multiply what you give them. Give them a house and they will make it a home. Give them a few ingredients and they can whip up this amazing meal, feed 20 or 30 people. Women tend to multiply what you give them. So men, if you don't like what you're getting, look at what you're giving. I thought that was a good challenge. I read that, I was like, wow, that's good. Right? So a lot of men will be like, I don't know what's wrong with her. Well, when's the last time you have been so blessed, such a blessing to her, so encouraging to her, so loving to her? You see, what Dr. Egricks calls in his book, Love and Respect, the crazy cycle, is that men have this innate need to need respect, and we're going to read that in the Word, and that women have this innate God-given need for care, for love, and they describe that through care and safety. We're going to read this in the Word in just a moment. Well, what happens is when the man feels disrespected, he doesn't give the care that she needs, so he'll shut down or he'll just leave, right? If the woman feels not cared for, she will show disrespect, and then the crazy cycle continues, right? Until that cycle is broken. But what we got to learn to do in the kingdom is stop the crazy cycle and choose to do and live exactly like the Bible tells us. Amen? That's a good spot. Everybody say amen? All right, so when you disagree on something, which you're going to disagree on, so I love what, again, the founder of XO Marriage, he said that men and women are so entirely different. You're different. You're meant to complement one another. John Bevere and Lisa Bevere talked about this in their book, Story of Marriage, that you're meant to complement one another. So of course you're going to see things differently. In fact, how many of you guys have ever just had this with your spouse, like you're thinking, what are they thinking? Come on, laugh about it. Come on. I know some of you are like, I can't raise my hand. Pastor Jordan, I will be on the couch. You don't get me raising my hand up in here. Come on. How many guys have ever, like, you're driving to scenario, like, what? That is not the way you go, right? Now, in that scenario, I'm always wrong because my wife's like Sacagawea. She's like, Northwest 14 degrees, right? And she just, like, I don't even know if that's Northwest. I don't know. And I have no sense of direction. I walk out of a bathroom and I'm lost. I'm like, hey. It's just terrible. But I want to tell you something. How you communicate those things when you disagree matters a great deal. Men are wired to need respect. Hear me. This is not Jordan's opinion. This is not, you know, John Bevere's opinion, Dr. Egrick's opinion. This is the Bible. We're going to read the scripture in just a minute. But men are wired to need respect, and women are wired to need love. When she doesn't get the love she needs, she reacts. When he doesn't get the respect he needs, he reacts. So you need to know what your spouse needs. Okay, Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. They're meant to work together. So if you ever wonder, why does she think so differently than I do? Or women, if you think, what is his problem? Of course he's going to see it differently than you do. And one of the big takeaways, you're going to hear me say this at the end of the sermon, I want to say at the beginning as well, right, is there is different and there is wrong. Everybody say this with me. There's different and there's wrong. And where most marriages, I've done a lot of marriage counseling in particular in the last 2 years, and I have found over and over and over, people will go, well, it's wrong. And here, it's actually not wrong. It's just different. You know, there are two ways to do something. And sometimes if you get the same goal accomplished, you don't have to tell the other person that it's wrong. So number two. Men are wired, like I said, to need respect. Women are wired to need love. So why do we hear more about love in marriage than respect? But research shows that women are more expressive in their response in marriage. So in today's love-dominated society, a woman tends maybe to express her need more for that love than her husband will actually speak about it. Dr. Danielle Hagge talks about this in her podcast. I've been listening to that recently, studying for this sermon. And she said that there is no stronger woman than a man is on the inside. And there's no stronger man that men are so strong on the inside, but they won't express it. They'll hold it in. And she's been doing this for 40 plus years. So they won't express it, but a woman will express it often. That's not always the case, but usually the case. And so your husband, can I talk to you? You guys okay? Can I be real with you? Your husband might be feeling disrespected for a week, a month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and they won't express it. But what happens is often they'll feel that disrespect 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, and then they'll just leave. They can't take it anymore. And the women's like, what happened? What happened? Well, again, men are very strong on the inside. And so they can hold something in, whereas a woman naturally is wired more so to express it. So it doesn't mean that what you're saying doesn't matter. It does matter. And it matters that how our words make our husband, how our words make our wife feel. Okay? But look at this. In Ephesians 5:25, only the husband is commanded to agape love his wife. And we're going to talk about this more in the marriage class. I'm going to be doing a marriage class for 5 weeks. So if you say, man, today's sermon, we needed this. We're fighting a lot. We're you know, just arguing all the time. Or you just say, hey, our marriage is good, but this is the most important person in my life, so I want to have an incredible marriage. Come out to the marriage class. This is a commercial right now. I am giving you a commercial if you haven't noticed. This is a 30-second ad, all right? Nissan's driving in the background. This is an ad. Come out on Wednesday nights. Everybody say Wednesday nights. Okay, because we're going to dive into this a lot deeper. So it's not so much that women don't need respect. Women do need respect, but they interpret it mostly in a conflict. Okay, so this is what Dr. Eggers found, again, after counseling hundreds of people. During conflict, a wife leans towards love, a husband will lean towards respect. So when a wife requests respect, she's desiring to be treated and honored as equal, like 1 Peter 3:7, you're equal. But again, you're different. The world will tell you that you're the same, but you're not the same. You are different. But you're equal in value. And so Titus 2:4, the Bible says, encourage the young women to love. And it says, phileo, to care for their husbands. Women, did you know you can melt your husband with just the touch of your hand on the back of his neck? Now, I don't mean like choking him. I know some of y'all are like, I'm going to choke hold him right now. He will not. Listen, I'll touch his neck. You know? That was pretty funny. That was free. But what I'm saying is like that gentle, you can melt your husband. And somebody say, you know, I don't believe you. Try it. Somebody, like just while he's driving, just barely touch his neck. Just rub your fingers through. You say, is that manipulation? Hey, if it works, right? It's like, calm on. If it's going to avoid, is it going to avoid a meltdown? Are you about to have a hard conversation with him? You know, barely touch his neck. Because he'll be like, hey, girl, what's up? You know what I'm saying? His heart is wide open now, right? And again, men, we're like, yo, great. It's fine. If it works, if it keeps everything calm. How many of you guys think God wants you to avoid arguments, right? So if you're going to have a hard conversation with him, or you just want to enjoy the car ride, right? Care for, phileo. But again, what does God say to the man? Ephesians 5:33, each man must love his wife, and wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And again, I want to reiterate what Danielle Hagee, which, by the way, her Instagram channel and her podcast is phenomenal. It's extremely, extremely good. H-A-G-E. And she talks about this, that men are so strong, and if you think they're just strong on the outside, but they're actually very strong on the inside, so they'll put up with a lot, but then they'll explode. And she says this a lot. I love this. And she's Christian. She's a minister. She says women don't understand the power that they have. You have so much power to love for and nurture your husband, and to give him the care that he needs and craves. Love to a woman. I just wrote some things down. Again, things I've read, things I've learned in my own marriage. And I just want to share these with you. Love to a woman. You say, well, Pastor Jordan, what does that mean? Ephesians 5:33, you know, love your wife. So I want to make it really practical. I try to be really practical here, okay? Love to a woman can be understood as time together. Everybody say time together. Okay. Let me just pause. Time together. I've talked with guys who did not realize that it was a problem, that they have a hobby that has taken them three nights a week. And I've looked at a couple guys and said, hey, when you became married, your hobbies became secondary to your wife and kids. Like, wife and kids, this is your first priority now. This hobby is way down here. Now, that can be hard because I know guys tend to love hobby time. But I'm not saying you can't have a hobby, so don't misunderstand me. I know some of you guys are like, I'm leaving Rock and Grace. Pastor Jordan said, I'm not allowed to go fishing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying healthy boundaries are good. And if your wife is saying, hey, I really want you home, really need you home, you need to be listening and show the care for her and give her that time together. The 1-1-1 rule, I came across this. 1 week of vacation per year alone with no kids. Come on, somebody say no kids. In the name of Jesus. Okay, one date night per week alone with no kids. Each spouse initiates sexual intimacy one time each week, single week. I want to add this. I heard this. I like this quote. Your spouse did not marry you to be your roommate. Right? Don't say that's right. That's awkward. Third row, left, right over here. Your spouse. I love when someone amens at the wrong time. It's my favorite thing about preaching. Why did you amen that, sir? Okay, I'm just kidding. Your spouse did not marry you to be a roommate. Come on, right? So initiating sexual intimacy is very important. Doing that once a week is a really great idea. 1 30-minute block of no screen time to connect every single night. You would be shocked how many problems would be solved in your marriage if you'd put your phone down. Right? And again, there's nothing wrong with your phones, nothing wrong with social media, but what a lot of people are discovering is they're telling their spouse, hey, you've been on Facebook for an hour, right? Or, by the way, men won't express, so what will they do? They'll just go to sleep. And that'll build, though, over a number of weeks and months, and suddenly he'll freak out, right? Why don't you love me? What do you mean, of course I love you? Well, if you're saying you're staring at your phone for an hour and a half every night, you're actually telling you actually love your phone more. That's what he feels. There's what is said and what is heard. Come on, everybody, just give me at least a little nod that you hear me. There's what is said, there's what is done, and there's what is understood. Love to a woman can be understood in financial support, right? Financial support, working hard to care for her, to provide for her. Domestic support, help around the house, right? So most women have this felt need, again, given by God, to have the house tidy. Again, they multiply what they're given. They're given a house, but they want to make it a home. It's not just 2x4s and drywall. I understand to you, it's just 2x4s and drywall. And you see nothing wrong with that outlet that's hanging out 6 inches and electrocuting possible cats. I know you're thinking, what's wrong with that? But she wants to make it a home. And so, again, it's being sensitive to that. Love to a man can be understood through affirmation. Tell him what you think he's doing well. There's a couple reached out to me here, and again, I'll never share. This is like just this 12 years ago, we'll call it. All right, so that part's vague. But anyway, and so there was kind of some difficulty, and I just asked a simple question. Hey, when's the last time that when he came home, it's just a question. Again, there was both people need to learn. There's always men and women both need to learn, okay? So as I preach, don't think, man, he harped on the men today. You don't know. Don't think, oh, he harped on all the women. No, I'm harping on both, okay? I'm giving y'all both challenges. But I asked her, when's the last time he came home, you wrapped your arms around him, and you just said, you're doing such a good job providing for me and the kids, and I love how hard you work at. You know, and she goes, months, maybe years, right? And so if he doesn't hear any affirmation, men, hear me, women, I'm trying to help you. Men need to hear that they're doing a good job, right? Men need to hear that. That is a form of respect, that affirmation. Affection, right? Initiating sex, flirt, kiss, send him a text, right? Mess up his whole day with that flirtatious text. Just mess with him. Distract him wildly. Okay. Hobby, do something fun together. This is listed as number three when men are surveyed what they wish they had in their marriage is just something fun together. Okay? Let's talk a little bit about this affection piece just for a minute of sexual intimacy. 1 Corinthians 7, if you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 7. It won't be on the screen, but I want you to hear this. By the way, the Bible, when I shared this verse in our marriage class, almost to a person, there was like, I don't know, 12, 16, somewhere like people in there, and almost to a person, they said, I never knew that verse was in there. Do you know the Bible has a lot of godly advice for you that's very specific? Paul, Timothy, Jesus himself talks about marriage. We're going to read some verses from Jesus in just a minute, but this is from Paul. Listen to this. Concerning the matters about marriage, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps an agreement for a limited time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And many people don't realize that this verse is in there. That Christians don't realize you could be putting your spouse in jeopardy to temptation. That's what the Bible is telling you by withholding sex from them. So the Bible is saying you're to give yourself to your spouse, to give yourself one to another. Again, your spouse did not marry you to be a roommate, right? They love you and they want to be able to express that and feel that expression. Jesus talks about marriage, and he talks about the maturity that it requires. Give you that verse in just a second. I want you to turn to Ephesians 5:27. I want to talk about this, that Jesus wants to present his church, the body of Christ, the bride, without blemish in holiness. So I love what Lisa Bevere talks about this. She said, you're helping keep your husband holy by giving yourself to him. And of course, he says likewise, men to women, women to men, that there's this self. Again, it's not just men, it's both. It's the same way in the other scripture that we read last time I preached on marriage when he said, submit to one another, to give yourself to one another, that the two have become one, that you start to lay down your rights in order to bless that person. You want to bless that person and enrich your marriage. And some of you are thinking, there's no way I'm not going to have sex with him because he or she, they have not yet apologized for saying that thing that they said, and I'm still mad at them from last month. 1 John would tell you to first forgive. Did God forgive you before you repented? Right? Just me and James? Anybody else? Did God forgive you before you repented? So what would it look like for you to be really gracious in your marriage, right? And to not let your spouse's mistake from last month, whether they said something rude or they just forgot the milk, right? Because sometimes Satan can embellish something big time, make a mountain out of a molehill, right? And yet can convince you to think, oh, then now I'm going to withhold intimacy. But again, God is purifying you, and he's bringing your marriage. This is a quote from Lisa Bevere in her marriage book. She says this, God uses your marriage to bring out the impurities of your heart to the surface. Some of you guys would laugh and say, yeah, they bring out a lot of my impurities, right? How many of you guys realize sometimes your spouse does not bring the best out of you, the worst out of you, right? But that's where, again, we have to learn to be selfless. Again, number three, point three, you can break the crazy cycle. This is a simple sermon, y'all. You can break the crazy cycle. Women, by intentionally showing respect to your husband. Men, by intentionally showing care to your wife. Okay, what do I mean by care? Listen for what your spouse is consistently asking for. Is there a way you can show them that you're listening and that you care about what means most to them? Okay? About what means most to them. I have a funny story crossing my mind. I'm tempted to tell it, but I don't know if I should. How many of you guys realize everybody receives love in a different way? Can we laugh about it? One, I've shared it before, so hopefully, yeah, she has fire in her eyes. She just killed me with her eyes. She's like, I will jab you with a shank. I'm just kidding. She didn't do that. I learned that my wife's love language was not gifts on our first anniversary, right? So I don't want this plant. What am I going to do with this plant, right? But what I found was her love language is time together and domestic support. So even though my love language is gifts, I love to give gifts, it has taken me 18 years, y'all, to learn. I'm slowly learning. How many of you guys are slow learners? Wives, don't nudge them. Just let them admit it. That your spouse receives love in a certain way. So pay attention to what they're saying matters to them. Amen? I have other stories, but I will tell them. Okay. These actions, you have to come to Wednesday night to hear all of our stories of failure as a marriage. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody told me this week, I asked for advice on Facebook, which is a horrible idea. But I asked our church family, you know, hey, give me some advice on marriage, right? So one of you said, don't go to bed angry. You know, don't go to sleep angry. So we haven't slept in 8 days. Oh, that was awesome. I told my wife I was going to tell that. She's like, that's a good one. She's like that. Y'all, when you're married, you can fight over a dumb thing. Y'all realize, I didn't know until I got married, you can fight over things you agree on. Only in marriage. Y'all, we fought over French fries this week. Didn't we? She said that. She goes, just tell him we fought over fries. And I'm like, you fought over fries. And I started the fight again. You guys ever done that? Sometimes I'm just feeling brave. You know, I just wake up and I'm like, I want to start a fight. I'm going to bring up that thing that we fought about 4 days ago. I'm feeling feisty. You guys need to do that? I know Jimmy's never done that, right? No, absolutely. Oh, man. Some of you do that, but I will not call you out. All right. So what are some actions that's going to make your husband feel disrespected? All right, so we talked about women. We're going to go to the men for a minute. What are actions going to make your husband feel disrespected? Rude speech, especially in public. Y'all, never do that. Bad idea. Everybody say bad idea. That will shut down a man faster than anything else. You want to drive your man away? Rude speech in public, all right? Demanding speech, all right? Demanding speech. Hold on, I'm just trying hard not to tell stories. Demanding speech, right? Instead of asking a question. I'm going to keep preaching in the name of Jesus. Okay, right? All right, so also correcting him on something small That can be done many ways. All right, so Danielle Hagee points out, she said, the most common thing I hear about, and she's been counseling, she said it was for over 45 years. She goes, the stupid dishwasher. All right, so let me explain this to you. This is how she says it. She says, you would be shocked at the number of men and women who sit on a couch in front of my office, in my office, and will say, I'm not helping her anymore because every time I load the dishwasher, I do something, I'm doing it wrong. And she says, I'll look at the woman and say, are the dishes clean? She's like, well, yes. Well, then the job is getting done, and isn't that your goal in the first place? So if the plates, by the way, I'm just going to tell you right now, all men load the dishwasher like this. We don't line them up, okay? We just don't. Everybody just look to your wife right now and just be like, it's not going to happen. It's not. We're going to just throw it in there. We're just going to be like, oh, is this a dish? You know, we're just going to, that's what we do. But women will be like, no, you're doing it wrong. No, you're doing it different. Everybody look at your spouse and say, different. Okay. I'm trying to help you. You guys being okay with being helped? Okay. All right. These actions will make a wife feel unloved, okay, and cause her to deflate. Good job, Cody. I see you writing things down. Good man. I see you. That's a wise man. He's like, pen and paper. He also just pulled out his phone. He made himself a calendar that repeats. It's a wise man. All you men not writing stuff down, good luck. Marriage is going to fall apart next week, but this guy... he's going to be married for 85 years, right? The dude right there is writing things down. Okay, write this down, Cody. Not listening, cutting her off. Let me tell you what happened when you decided to date that girl. When you saw that girl at prom or wherever you saw her, what you decided was that's the girl that I'm going to come home and I'm going to hear her story. It's not going to have a beginning and an end. There's going to be no plot. She's going to introduce other characters along the way. I'm going to suggest a proposed solution. She is not going to be interested in that solution, but she is going to continue to tell me about all the winding tales of the tale. And there's going to be some pronouns used without nouns, without names. There's going to be introduction of characters. It's going to be about 13 to 38 to 305 minutes, that story. And I'm going to nod and love her. That's what you decided when you decided to date somebody. Come on. How many men you know I'm talking about? Sometimes your husband, women, I'm just telling you, your husbands will sometimes look at you and just be like, is there an end to this story? Is there a plot? And I'm just telling you, men, there's not. There is no plot. They just want to tell you stuff. So listen and don't cut her off. Number two, a lazy man, unwilling to work hard. Nothing puts off a woman more than a man who doesn't want to work hard. That's self-explanatory, so I'm going to buzz past that one, okay? So work hard, men. Number three, ignored, all right? Doing a hobby that doesn't include her or consider her, okay? So if you say, oh, I love bowling, you don't understand, I'm the master bowler of Cortland. Well, that's great that you're the master bowler of Cortland. But if you keep bowling 3 and 4 times a week, your marriage is going to suffer. Somebody say amen. Okay, pornography, right? This seems obvious, but you would be shocked to know how many marriages suffer from pornography. Write down 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. For the sake of time, I won't read it, but it just is saying this, flee from sexual sin, right? That the two have become one, that you need to commit yourself, covenant to your spouse. Amen? We will all face times when our spouse is simply being offensive, okay? I added this in this morning. I thought this is so true. You're two humans, okay, that chose to live together, and you're very different, all right? How many of you guys realize, again, you're very different? How many of you guys realize you're incredibly different, right? Like, one of you is a saver, one of you is a dreamer. You know what I'm talking about? Who's the dreamer in the family? Like, you know, dream a million dreams, right? All the time, right? But if you have two dreamers, you're going to end up homeless. So if you're a dreamer, praise God, you married a saver. But you need to complement each other and value one another. So when those tensions arise, right? Friendship is low. Compatibility seems low. Sexual intimacy is low. You need to understand that what you're going to say and how you respond to that makes a big difference. There will be times that your spouse disappoints you. I read this from Pastor Aaron Brockett. I really like this, so I wanted to include this. They will offend you. They'll have an off day. They'll say something you don't like. And when your spouse behaves in a way that puts you off, the narrative you choose to believe about why they're being offensive determines if trust stays high or low. In other words, they're having a bad day. Right, so they say something offensive. In that moment, you can assume that they're trying to offend you, that they're trying to make your life miserable, right? Or you can assume that they're having a bad day, that something happened to them today that made them stressed out. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so you can lean in with empathy, or you can get offended. You can lean in with empathy, right, and try to understand why they're being offensive, or you can be simply offended. And how you respond to that will determine the success of your relationship. So what do I do when my spouse says something that hurts? There will be times. Long, healthy marriages, imperfect but healthy, are the results of two people who believe the best of each other's intentions. That's my version of summarizing what he's saying there. Let me say it again. A long, healthy relationship. How many of you guys want to have a long, healthy relationship? There are two people who assume the best of the other person's intentions. Amen? They're not trying to... I know, some of you think, no, they are trying to make me miserable. No, they're not trying to make you miserable. Assume the best of each other. Last point, learn to laugh. Most of what is fought over should be laughed about. In my dad's sermon series called The H Factor, it's one of his best sermons he ever wrote. He used to say humor, right? Humor, that humor thing is so important. Learn to laugh. Most of what is fought over should be what? Laughed about.